farther back so that it wouldn't look like you were sitting right here on top. Donna Shelton, you want to pray? Amen. Let me read these verses to you. It's about 10 or 15 verses, but I think it's important. Talking about what Jesus accomplished at the cross in his death, burial, resurrection, which Lent leads to. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together in Christ, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. He simply, as is said, through the finished work of Christ on the cross, we were set free from the power of sin. The circumcision of our body of the flesh, we were forgiven of our sins, and the enemy was defeated by what Jesus accomplished. Therefore, verse 16, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance, everything in the Christian life, belongs to Christ. It's all found in him. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. What's the prize? Jesus, and all that Jesus accomplished for you. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause in his fleshly mind, not holding fast to Christ, the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and the ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ, and the language here, as it is going to be in verse 1 of chapter 3, is actually, since you have died with Christ. Since you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, which is achieve, so that you can receive something from God. Earn, so that God will do something for you. Since you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were still living in the world, do you to submit to such decrees, such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and the teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Christ took care of that in your spiritual circumcision when you went to the cross with him. He broke the power of sin. He did it. Since then, you have been raised up with Christ. Just keep seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you've died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ is our life, Christ, who is our life, is manifested. We'll be manifested with Him in glory. It's really, really, really important that we understand what Lent is not about. Lent is one of my favorite times of the year. Because Lent's about extravagance. About extravagant love, about extravagant seeking, about extravagant discovery. But Lent is not about morbid introspection and self-condemnation that somehow thinks that through that process I can gain victory over sin. Jesus gained your victory over sin. And I'd love to have victory over this feedback. Good. It'd be wonderful. Thank you, Luke. But he says, what Jesus did gave us victory, and what we're called to do is, since then, seek those things which are above. Find out what Christ has done for you. Find out what's yours in Christ. Find out what He's accomplished and purchased on your behalf. Christ is your life. I've talked about this over the last few days in the broadcast on Monday night that we do that millions of people watch on YouTube, that a few people watch. We talked about this. This is so, so important. This is what it says in Hebrews 10. Lent has never been intended. It's authentic intention. The West has kind of done this to it, but they shouldn't have. Lent is never meant to get you to think on your sins. Lent is intended to cause you to think on Christ and who Christ is and what Christ has done, that you will get to celebrate and in a sacramental way enter into a richer way at Easter. That's what Lent's about. Hebrews 10. This whole chapter is amazing. Do I need to do something, Luke? Is it the battery? No? It just left. Okay. For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they continually offer, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had a consciousness of sins. That doesn't mean that you aren't aware of when you sin. It doesn't mean that God won't show you when you're sin. But what it does mean is that Jesus came to set us free from living with a consciousness of sins all the time. Living under condemnation and expecting to fail again and again and again. Jesus came to set me free from sin's penalty. And He came to set me free from sin's power. And my expectation should be in Him and who He is and what He might do in me in the next moment when tempted, not what I might do apart from Him, because I'm not apart from Him. So in seeking those things which are above and setting my mind on things above, the couple of scriptures that we focused on this week has been from Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." God didn't just choose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you in Christ. He saw you in Christ. He saw the problem before the problem happened in the fall. He saw the solution being you placed into Christ. Let me just give you a word. You're never going to find yourself by looking at yourself and trying to discover yourself. You're only going to find who you truly are by looking to Christ, because your life is hidden with Christ and God. when that becomes your focus, your personality comes alive. Because it's redeemed in Him. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace with the blood of the cross through Him. I say, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in your mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you to His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before the Father holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Not one day, not someday down the road, but that's chosen in Christ. This is how the Father sees you, because He sees you in Christ. He said, well, that's not my experience. Holy, beyond reproach, blameless. But that's your identity in Christ. That's who you are. And as long as you believe less than that about yourself, you will manifest less than that about yourself. You all heard the old story told about the little eagle, baby eagle, who'd fall out of the nest. The mama couldn't find it. It was raised by a bunch of turkeys. And as it grew up, it thought it was a turkey, though it had been an eagle all of its life. And then one day, an eagle flies down and sees this eagle acting like a turkey and comes and says, what is wrong with you? He said, why are you acting like a turkey? He said, I am a turkey. He said, no, you're not a turkey, you're an eagle. He said, no, I'm not an eagle, I'm a turkey. He said, no, you see the wings you got? They're like my wings. You're an eagle, you can fly. He said, I can't fly, I'm a turkey. He said, here, he grabbed him, took him over to a pond, said, look in the pond, see your reflection, what are you? And he realized for the first time he was an eagle. And because he realized he was an eagle, he began to act like an eagle. We're in Christ. And the war eagle. Who said? This is Lent. Let's repent, okay? I do believe in repentance. Whoever said that will make a big cross of ashes on your forehead. We're here to talk about living things, not dead things. Right? Yeah, sorry. You started it, whoever said that. It's important that you understand that He says before Him in Christ, the Father sees you as the new creation that you are. And when we fail, all that He went through to accomplish that for us, to make us new creations in Christ, when we fail, His number one priority isn't to make you feel terrible about what a worm you are. He'll show us our sin because He came to set us free from sin's power, from the evil virus, the demonic virus. And He'll show us where we're blowing it and then remind us, you're holy and blameless before Me in Christ. That's who you are in Christ. Be that. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The virus kills, steals, and destroys. Don't be that. That's who He is. That's what a father does. If you have a child and you put a gourmet before them, and as they get older, they just keep going out in the yard and eating worms, you go out there and tell them, you got to stop eating worms. Don't you understand what you have? Why would you waste your time on worms when you have this? The prodigal son, when he was eating the food of the pigs, it didn't say he came to his senses. The language there is he came to himself. He remembered, this is not who I am. And that was the thing that thrilled the Father's heart. Not that he would feel horrible and terrible and guilty about all that he had done. The Father had no conversation with him about that. He just celebrated the fact that the boy had come home remembering who he actually was. Amen? Holy and blameless before him because I'm in Christ. Lent, when you come and we put the ashes on your forehead, what we should never say is, remember that you're but dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, there's more to you than that. Remember that you are dust. This body that still has the virus in it will die. But that cross on your forehead says, but there's more to you than this. You are an Easter person. You are now in Christ. The old man has been crucified. You're now in Christ. But it also says, you're dust and dust you shall return. Your time is short on this earth. Don't waste any of it. Discover. Be conformed. Be transformed. We're going to be made like him in heaven. We see him as he is. This is our only chance to love him in the midst of temptation. This is our only chance to seek out and discover a transformation here. To have impact on the fallen world. To tell them they can be new creations in Christ. The ashes says that you're not what you were. You're a person in Christ. But just like in Mark 14, when Mary Magdalene for the third time anointed the feet of Jesus with oil. Third time. She poured out oil once in chapter 7 of Luke, poured out oil again in John chapter 12. But in Mark 14, she broke the alabaster vial, poured it out, and Jesus said, she's prepared my body for burial. When she broke the alabaster vial, it was done. It was over. There was nothing left. And once again, the disciples said, why this waste? Because she was saying, I don't have time to waste. I will, as the pursuit of my life, love you above all things else. Follow you more than anything else. I don't have time to waste. So when you receive the ashes, we're saying that you're a Christ person. You don't have time to waste. Discover as much as you can. Seek those things which are above as much as you can so you can set your mind on things above as much as you can so that you can manifest his life and walk in his glory as much as possible. Right? If it's true that I have died and my life is hidden with Christ and God, now when Christ who is my life is manifested, I'll be manifested with him in glory. Glory tastes better than any other pleasure the world has ever offered you. And you don't wait for heaven to go to glory, to experience glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So I don't have much time to waste in discovering and manifesting, allowing him more and more to manifest his life in me, to experience glory on this side. So the ashes will say to you that you're a Christ person. There's more to you than just dust, but you are dust, and you don't have much time. So why waste time? Waste your life. You don't have time. Waste your life on Jesus. That's what the woman was saying. I'm wasting it all on you now because I don't have time to waste. But the other thing the ashes speak about in Scripture is when people would repent, they would repent in sackcloth and ashes. Lent is a season of repentance. But see, repentance is not about morbid introspection. He says those things have no value over fleshly indulgence. Repentance is me saying, okay, if this is true, then I'm holy and blameless before you in Christ. That's who I really am. That's the truth about me. I can manifest that consistently. Show me anything that would hinder that. Show me anything. I don't pick out a shovel, spiritual shovel, dig around, just show me, Lord. In this season, when I arrive at Easter, I want to walk in all that Easter means to me more than I ever have before. So in this season of seeking, of discovering, show me anything. This is from Ruth. If I can find Ruth. Ruth, chapter 3. Boaz is at the threshing floor. She takes off her mourning clothes, the clothes of mourning. She goes to Boaz in the middle of the night. She lays at his feet. Verse 6, so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all their mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward. Behold, a woman was lying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" "I am Ruth, your maid. Spread your guff covering over your maid, for you are my kinsman redeemer." And then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown your last kindness to be better than the first." And he says, "Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask." The threshing floor always speaks of repentance. And the threshing floor is the place of lovesickness. It's where I love him. It's where I encounter his love and I say, I don't want. He said in the scripture, he says, "You have blessed me, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness be better than the first by not going after young men, whether rich or poor." She was saying, "I want you. Not all that. Not them. I want you more than anything else in the world." That's the threshing floor. That's Lent. Is asking the Lord to show me, if I am holy and blameless before you, if that's my true identity, I want to walk that out. I want to experience glory. I want to see Jesus manifest his life in me so that I can experience that glory. I want to go as far as I can go in this. I'm seeking those things which are above. I'm going after that. And I want you to show me anything. I invite you to, because I'm choosing you. I'm choosing that. I want that. And you know what? He'll be faithful. He'll be faithful to show you. He'll not go, "Well, this isn't holy." And he gives me an opportunity to see, to let go, so that whatever has been hindering me, whether it's an attitude or whatever, I can see that, wow, that one went to the cross too. And it's kept me from experiencing this life, this truth about who I am in Christ. Are you with me? That's Lent. That's at the heart of Lent. The heart of Lent's going, "You've accomplished everything in the world for me. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Therefore, if there's anything going on in my life that would hinder me from manifesting any of those blessings, show me. Because I love you." And so what's the whole point of, like, giving up stuff? Is fasting things so that you earn God's favor? No. You were born into God's favor. You're in Christ. You have the same favor of Christ has before the Father. What's it about? It's about, you love me so much. You gave so much up for me that my whole life might be redeemed. That I would be a new creation. I want to give you something that cost me something because I love you. That's the deal. I'm going to give up chocolate. No, I'm not saying I'm giving up chocolate. I gave up chocolate 4 years ago. I've been in Lent for 4 years. So I'm going to give up chocolate, not because I'm going to earn something with God. It's because this is an opportunity to give him something that cost me something because I love him. Does he love me less if I don't? No. Does he think less of me if I don't? Nah. You think you're super unspiritual if you don't? Nah. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. You can't change that. It's just that you want to because you love him. Amen. This is the spirit of Lent. Okay? It's all out of this whole thing. My position before him is that I'm holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And I want to walk that out. I want to manifest that. That's the truth about me because you say it's the truth about me. And so show me anything. That might hinder. Okay? So, let's have a holy Lent. Let's go for it. Let's seek those things which are above. That's where you are. That's who you are in Christ. Seek those things which are above. So we can begin to manifest them at a higher level than ever before. That's revival. Relent is the posture of a heart that wants to manifest revival in their own life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well,